Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It is Thursday. It's February 9th. It is 2022. Just kidding. It's 2023. Yes, I'm tired. It's later than we normally record. And it's been a long day. Long day. Joined today by my buddy, Keith Eiser, Eyes819. Keith, what's happening, my friend?
Not too much. Had a really good night in NBA. Built heavy on that Minnesota-Utah game. They came in way, way lower on than they should have been. But we got news of a trade brewing like an hour before lock from Shams, which that's pretty concrete info anytime he tweets that out. So I had a bunch of Noel who came in like under 10% owned, a bunch of Sexton. He was really low owned. Edwards as well. So a good night. Could have been a great night if Domantas Sabonis did not find himself in foul trouble and fail against the Houston Rockets for the second game in a row. But it is what it is. Very, very nice profit tonight, but could have been a phenomenal night if Sabonis would have just done a little bit more.
Jalen Green did his thing. Yes, that game went over, like we talked about yesterday.
The Kings did not hold up their end of the bargain for me.
They did not, but it happens, man. Like, it happens. I still, you know, at the end of the day, I still like that line. So we have... We got a four-game NBA slate we're going to talk about. We're also going to go over our thoughts on the Super Bowl. We'll do like a game-by-game breakdown like we normally do and then maybe just kind of give out, you know, some bets that we like. You know, I'll find some fun bets and we'll do that. So it's a really interesting NBA slate because it's just so small. But, yeah, I mean, it should be a decent slate overall. Right. Like, I mean, the first time, so I mean, looking at it, I didn't get as much time. I went out to the dirt track. Volusia has speed weeks for like the first 2 weeks, and there's a bunch of NASCAR guys out there running dirt. So I went out and did that. So I didn't get like as much time to prepare for the podcast, but like, first glance is like, even for a four game slate, it's really solid.
there's a ton of studs to pay up for. I'm not quite sure how we're going to end up fitting them all in, or any of them for that matter. But yeah, there are plenty of studs for just four games. That's definitely the case.
All right, we get started with Denver at Orlando. No total in this game. Just kind of looking through the injury report here. I think it would be Jamal Murray being questionable is the reason that we don't have a total for this game. On the Orlando side, Gary Harris is questionable. Okiki and Mobamba are out. We'll go to Denver first. I mean, Murray being in or out definitely matters. It's a four-game slate, so if Murray were to sit, Bruce Brown would be someone that would likely play a good amount of minutes against the bad Orlando defense. If Murray plays, I definitely like this spot for him. Huge discount from Jokic to Murray. We're comparing Jokic, LeBron, Anthony Davis type of plays today, Giannis. So it's a really interesting slate for the studs. I mean, the studs are, you know, you get Giannis versus LeBron. So, I mean, that's going to be a fun game. And it's like a standalone, like 2.5 hours after like the three games kind of get rolling. So, I mean, interesting slate for sure. But talk to me here about the Nuggets.
Yeah, the Murray stuff is definitely key on how to handle this. Obviously, you can play Jokic in any matchup. But like I said, this slate is going to be hard to find some value, at least at first glance here the night before. The trade deadline is also today, which is a huge deal. Bones Highland has not played in several games. He is likely on the move today. They dusted off Ish Smith, who is 3,200. So if Jamal Murray sits, Ish Smith is going to be the primary value on the slate. I kind of feel like Murray is playing here, though. He's sat out a couple of games. He's had almost a full week off. So a good chance he plays, I think. Although they are playing at Orlando, maybe they just give him a few more days to get over that injury. We'll have to see. But if Murray's in, I like that Murray call. The savings down from Jokic, he can have a great game here in an excellent matchup with Orlando. Aaron Gordon's been playing really well for a good part of the season. Without Murray, he absolutely smashed against Minnesota. Michael Porter Jr. had a good game as well. So typically when I play Nuggets, it's usually only Jokic and Murray. Because we have the short slate, though, I think you can take some shots on these cheaper Denver pieces, especially since it's going to be hard to get in more than one stud in your lineups today.
Denver doesn't play until Saturday, too. So, I mean, they could easily give Murray an extra couple days in this one. It's a knee, too. So, I mean, from what I was reading, they're going to be very careful with him. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, like, if Murray sits, I like Bruce Brown. Obviously, I like Jokic. Also, like, if Murray sits, we saw, like, Michael Porter Jr. Handle the ball a little bit more. They used him up towards the top a little bit more. So, I don't hate him for tournaments. But, yeah, I mean, this is a great spot. Orlando, not a good defensive team by any means. Getting a little bit better, but still not a good defensive team. On the Orlando side of things, four-game slate. You know, Orlando's kind of a team that recently I've just kind of written off. Like, I haven't played a lot of them. Everyone's kind of healthy right now. Mo Bamba being out is kind of huge. Okiki's getting close to returning. Like, he got sent down to the G League to get some minutes. But with Mo Bamba being out, I mean, it just kind of solidifies a few roles here. I was kind of thinking that, like, Mo Wagner would play a little bit more the other night, and he didn't, like, play any extra minutes with Mo Bamba out. So, unless Gary Harris sits, I don't see really playing anybody here for Orlando. Even on a four-game slate, the minutes are just so spread out.
Yeah, it's really tough with the guard rotation. Like, they're just kind of mixing Harris, Suggs, Fultz, Anthony. Nobody's really playing enough minutes to matter. I think you have to look at some value here. Like, man, Suggs is not playing enough minutes here, but he's 3,500. And Mo Wagner, you mentioned he didn't get the run, but the $3,700 price tag might be useful to help fit other things on this slate. So I don't hate Mo, even though he's not playing. Like, you're probably not getting more than 20 minutes out of him. That's probably like a ceiling. Like, his projection will probably come in at like 18 minutes. But he's a big permanent producer, 3,700. I don't hate that. I can't see myself going up to like Franz or Paolo though in the spot. Just too much other stuff to pay for on the slate.
Yeah. So like if Gary Harris sits, I think that's where we're going to take some shots here. And I think it's Cole Anthony and Jalen Suggs that like potentially get a few extra minutes. And I think a few extra minutes is enough. Like Jalen Suggs is 3,500. If he plays 25 minutes, 3,500, and he's so cheap. Like, I think I kind of agree with you on Mo Wagner too. Like if he can just play, like 18 to 20 minutes in this game at 3,700, his point per minute production is always solid. So maybe we're taking a shot on him, but I would prefer Jalen Suggs if Gary Harris sits. And I don't know if the Magic are going to move anybody or not, but I mean, they have a very deep bench, so it wouldn't shock me if they move a guy or two for maybe some even just like draft picks or something. Yep. Phoenix at Atlanta. There was no total. Oh, there's a total out now. 229.5. The Hawks a 4.5 point favorite in this one. Atlanta's good to go. Phoenix, Devin Booker is out. Crowder is out. Payne is out and Shamit's out. So going to the Phoenix side first, already kind of rolling out Devin Booker, which is nice to have that news. It's the first end of a back-to-back, so we kind of expected him to sit one of these with him being out here recently for so long. So it looks like they're going to take the Atlanta game instead of the Pacers game with Booker. What are your thoughts here on Phoenix?
Yeah, Booker being out certainly helps here. They've been a struggling team. When Booker came back, we saw both Ayton and Paul actually play better than they had been playing, which is weird. So, like, Ayton absolutely smashed, had 56 DK points against Brooklyn. You would think that he has even more ceiling without Booker. So I don't mind Ayton at 7,900. Chris Paul played better with Booker on the floor as well. He had been struggling quite a bit recently. 7,300 without Booker. I think you can take some shots there too. Bridges is going to shoot a little bit more. 6,500 kind of just priced appropriately for his role. Like Booker was out so long. A lot of these prices are adjusted. But Cam Johnson at 4,900, I certainly don't hate that. Without Booker, there's going to be some shots to go around here. So guys like Bridges and Cam Johnson that we don't like to play when Booker is in there, certainly come into play here. It's a solid matchup against Atlanta. So you have to have some interest and a four-game slate too. I'm trying to figure out who starts ahead. It's going to be Craig Johnson, Ayton, Booker, and Bridges, right? Will be the five. So probably don't go too deep on the bench guys. Like Saric is cheap, but I don't think he sees quite enough minutes here. Sabin Lee is 3,100 again, probably not going to see quite enough minutes. So the value is tough on Phoenix, but I do like Cam Johnson at 4,900. Ayton has shown off his ceiling here recently.
Yeah. I mean, I think with Booker being out, Ayton at 7,900 is so much more doable, but I also think like Chris Paul and Bridges are both more doable with Booker out. So I'm okay with looking at Phoenix here. I think this is, you know, a game obviously you want to target, especially on a four game slate. And then on the Atlanta side of things, I mean, I think Trey's price is getting down to the point where we might just need to play it blind and be done with it. Like this is a guy that we've talked about playing in like the 10K range, the high nine range. Like now he's on the low nine, like 9-1 for Trae Young is cheap. Like this is, yeah, I was just looking, this is the cheapest he's been all season. Like cheapest he's been all season. So I think this is the time just to jump on it. I know the matchup isn't like the best thing in the world, but I would definitely prefer Trae Young over DeJounte Murray in this one. When you get into like the big situation, I mean, we want Capella to play more minutes. We do. I don't think there's anything that you can trust with Capella right now. Bogdanovich, 5,400. Like, raw points matter on this slate. So, like, if he gets 5 or 6X, he probably doesn't kill you. If he can have a little bit higher ceiling in this game, maybe. But I can't trust anything with, like, these guys. I would probably rank them, like, Bogdanovich, Capella, Collins. But there's no, like, strong take on any of this. DeAndre Hunter shot the ball terrible the other night against New Orleans. Was absolutely atrocious. But he's still going to play minutes. I don't know. Like, my initial lean is like Trey Young, but are we going to get Trey and, you know, still be able to get one or two of these other studs on the slate?
Yeah, it's a tough matchup against Phoenix. Really good defensive team. They're a slower paced team as well. It's definitely Trey over Murray for me as well. They're just too close in price. I feel like Trey has a lot more ceiling. Yeah, the values, they're just kind of priced appropriately. Hunter's been dealing with that injury. Not sure that we can trust him. Capella's not playing enough minutes. I agree. I lean Bogdanovich kind of in the mid-range. And just with the tough matchup, I probably don't get to much other Atlanta pieces. So Trey Young and maybe a little bit of Bogdanovich, but nothing really to be excited about here. Tough game.
Feels that way, right? Like, it feels that way for sure. Yeah, very competitive game, I think. Like, at the end of the day, I think this game's going to be really competitive.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Chicago at Brooklyn, no total in this game. I mean, just kind of waiting to see what happens here with Brooklyn. I mean, they have Curry out and Durant out on the injury report. Yuda is questionable, and then the Chicago side, DeRozan is questionable. Patrick Williams is probable. So, I mean, on the Brooklyn side, like, everything I've read is Dinwiddie's going to play. Like, he's gonna make his debut. And I think Finney Smith is expected to play. So, looking at Chicago first, I mean, one thing that I do want to note for Brooklyn in general is I think we see their defensive stats get even better. Finney Smith is a very good perimeter defender. And just something to note. I mean, we've talked about, like, picking on Brooklyn a lot this year. I think Kyrie being gone and Dinwiddie and, like, Finney Smith coming in, like, is a huge bump defensively. So what are your thoughts here on the Bulls?
Yeah. So just on the trade first, like, you look at these pieces and how they fit for Brooklyn. They did really well in this Kyrie trade, considering they had almost zero leverage. But Dinwiddie and Finney Smith, like, this team is super deep now, especially with the emergence of Cam Thomas and the things that Nick Claxton has been doing. Like, I like the way this Brooklyn team is coming together just from a real basketball standpoint. But DFS wise, I think this DeRozan news on the Chicago side is the most important piece of news on the slate. We saw Vucevic absolutely smash without DeRozan. You've talked about it several times on the podcast, how Vucevic just doesn't get the usage when he's playing alongside LaVine and DeRozan, but you take one of those guys off and Vucevic just has a massive ceiling. So if DeRozan were to miss, you have to have interest in Vucevic. especially like Claxton is decent, but Vucevic can certainly has the size advantage there. He should be able to have his way inside. If DeRozan plays, I have some interest there as well, and probably not as much interest in Vooch. But if DeRozan is out, it's going to be a priority to get up to Vooch, I think. And then some of this Bulls value is going to come into play as well. Didn't necessarily work out in their last game. Tough matchup against Memphis. I agree with you. The Brooklyn defense is definitely better, but still Memphis is one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. So, and it's also a short slate without a ton of value. So guys like Ayo Dosunmu, Kobe White would definitely be in play. And if Alex Caruso were to end up sitting here, you could go even deeper than that. Andre Drummond has been getting a little bit more run here. And usually you don't think about like guards being out affecting big men, but the way the Bulls run their rotation, like they're just short. If they're short enough on bodies, like Drummond will be in the rotation, whereas he'll only play like 8 to 12 minutes if Caruso plays, more than likely. But you could see him get up into that 20-minute range if Caruso were to sit, just because they're short on bodies. Caruso out would also open things up a little bit for Derek Jones Jr. at 3,200, I think. So definitely paying attention to the injury report here. I'm interested in the value if guys like DeRozan and Caruso sit, for sure. And also interested in paying up for Vucevic in the event that DeRozan would sit. If DeRozan is in, I think he's probably the guy that I would play up for the most, but not someone I love. There's definitely other stars that and other places I would rather spend the money.
Caruso's probable, by the way, for this one. So, okay. So here's the thing, right? Like, if DeRozan sits, is this like a spot where it's like, hey, Finney Smith, go shut down Zach LaVine? I mean, and that's like the type of like thing that could happen here. So, I mean, if DeRozan sits, Vooch might be my favorite play on the slate. Love this spot for him. I mean, if we're expecting like Finney Smith to potentially guard LaVine, not saying that will happen, but I mean, there's a good chance that like they try to hide Cam Thomas on like Patrick Williams, and you know, they try to like put Finney Smith on LaVine as much as possible if DeRozan sits. If DeRozan plays, I kind of like LaVine because I think that the flip-flop, right? I think Finney Smith plays on DeRozan, and then LaVine gets Cam Thomas. So, I mean, I don't want to overanalyze it in my head, but, I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking here at first thoughts anyway. With Caruso out, AU has been playing a bunch. Like, how much does that really affect with Caruso being back? So, they like playing Caruso. I think AU would be the guy over White for me. Because I think he has a really solid role. I like him a lot more if DeRozan sits at this price point.
Definitely.
On the Brooklyn side, like Cam Thomas started this week at like 3,300 or over the weekend. It feels like it was just yesterday, but he is now 7,800, and he's gone
pieces in a row. Yeah.
40 in a row, man. He's not getting 29 shots tonight. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, with Dinwiddie playing in this game as well, Dinwiddie's going to get his shots. I'm not as worried about like Finney Smith getting his shots, because this is a guy they definitely picked up more for the defensive side of things than the offensive side. Finney Smith's a good rebounder too, which kind of helps Brooklyn because they're not a great rebounding team. Like, Finney Smith was low-key a fantastic pickup. And you know.
He really was.
So, you nailed it. Like, they didn't have a ton of leverage. And Brooklyn, I mean, they came out and said that they were not sending Kyrie to where he wanted to go. So, I feel like for what they got, right? Like, I feel like they did a fantastic job. But, I mean, if Durant can stay healthy, I still think Brooklyn's one of the favorites in the East for sure.
Yep.
All right. So DFS side of this game, Dinwiddie's 81, Thomas is 78, Claxton's 76, Finney Smith is 58. The prices on Brooklyn are up. Like, we have a ton of potential on this slate, and the price tags, like, I think Cam Thomas is too expensive with Dinwiddie playing. I think the guy I lean on the most in this spot is probably Finney Smith, just because 5,800, I mean, he should. I mean, him and did what he should, both play plenty of minutes in this game. What are your thoughts here on Brooklyn?
Yeah, figuring out this rotation is really difficult. And I know we were bouncing lineup ideas and how they're going to start the game and how the minutes work out and how they end up closing this game around in the projections chat. So just a little peek behind the curtain. I think what we're going to project overnight is the starting lineup to be Dinwiddie, Harris, Royce O'Neal, Simmons, and Claxton. There's certainly a chance that Cam Thomas could stay in the starting lineup with what he's shown. And Finney's not starting would surprise me a little bit. But Royce O'Neal is a similar player. Like they're so deep now. Joe Harris, I don't know that he hangs onto a starting spot, but that's kind of what we were debating. Is it DFS or is it Joe Harris? I think having the defense on the second unit and the shooter kind of with the other defensive guy in Royce O'Neal makes sense. If that is what we project as the starting lineup, we're still going to project Cam Thomas and DFS to play 28 to 30 minutes roughly. So like it's going to be a pretty tight like 7-8 man rotation, I think, here for this Nets team. And they're all like really solid. So the starting lineup matters, but I think the closing lineup is actually what's the more interesting thing here. And in that scenario, I think we're projecting somebody like Cam Thomas to close over Ben Simmons, which we'll see if that's what they actually do. But there is a little bit of guesswork involved here. Pricing is tough. Like Cam Thomas getting a $5,000 bump in salary in the course of 1 week is just incredible. But that's what happens when you score 40 points every time you play. At 30 minutes, I agree with you. He's not getting 29 shots again. But I don't know. It's really tough. Like he has to do something similar to what he's done the last three games. And I'm with Dinwiddie there. I'm not sure that the upside is still there at 7,800. It's a tough ask, especially if he's not in the starting lineup. If he starts again, I think it's a different conversation. I think you can probably go back to Cam Thomas. I would say the guy I'm interested in for sure is Claxton. Not the greatest matchup with Vooch, but he's been doing a little bit of everything for this team. Been rebounding the heck out of the ball. He's getting steals and blocks. So Claxton at 7,600, I think would be a place that I certainly look. I think a little bit of that depends on Vooch and whether DeRozan plays. Like if I'm trying to jam in as much Vooch as possible, maybe I don't get to Claxton as much. And then it's somebody like DFS and O'Neal, I think are priced okay. Not a ton of upside there, but I think they're just at that price level, they're in play. Dinwiddie, I think I need to see what it looks like first before I pay $8,100 for him. But this is a really tough situation to break down here with Brooklyn, for sure. Totally new pieces everywhere.
For what it's worth, I personally do not think Cam Thomas starts in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I mean, that does not mean that he won't have 40% usage off the bench.
Yeah, but I don't see the minutes being like as high either, though. Like this is a guy like his minutes has just been bonkers the last couple games. So I think I'm in full fade mode on Cam Thomas and like, just prove me wrong. I mean, that is, I'm perfectly okay with saying that. I mean, prove me wrong. So I would assume it's Simmons, O'Neal, Finney Smith, Dinwiddie, Claxton. Joe Harris and Cam Thomas moved to the bench.
Just like splitting up the defensive guys a little bit, I think makes sense as well. I see the argument for sides, but if I had to take a stab at it, I agree with what you just said there, like Joe Harris moving to the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how Joe Harris doesn't move to the bench now. I mean, they have too much invested in Ben Simmons, I feel like, for him to be on the bench. But I feel like it should be Ben Simmons on the bench. Like Finney Smith can play like the four, and O'Neal can play the three, and Claxton the five. So But
when you have Simmons, DFS, and Royce O'Neal on the 40, that's three really low usage guys. So I think that's why we're leaning towards Joe Harris at this moment. It'll be interesting to see. Lots of options for sure.
Before we move on, like speaking of the projections team, you guys freaking crushed it on Wednesday night. Because that was, I'm sure, a ton of fun. But anyway, shout out to you
the
guys.
What if you loaded up the what if for the Utah Minnesota game, like just if you anticipated at lock that trade was going to go down and those guys were sitting, you did very, very well tonight.
All right, we finish it out with Milwaukee at LA taking on the Lakers. I mean, so 239 Bucks, 5.5 point favorite. There's a line out for this game now. LeBron is his typical questionable. Joe Ingles is out, and Bobby Portis is out on the Milwaukee side. I mean, we'll go Milwaukee first, and then we'll just kind of talk about the Lakers in general. I don't expect any of the trade pieces to play in this game, so, I mean, there's that. But let's talk Bucks. I want Giannis to play well. it just hasn't really happened here recently. He got in massive foul trouble the other night against Portland. I think he ended up like 22 or 23 minutes or something like that and still put up like 50 fantasy points. Like, it could have been a lot worse. I guess that's what we should say. It could have been a lot worse. I don't hate Giannis. I think Brook Lopez is someone that's sneaky good value-wise, price-wise at 5,600. You know, this is a guy that got up to like 65 and then like kind of has just lingered back down a little bit. And he has 40 plus point upside in any matchup. So I think he's super interesting in this spot. I think those are the two pieces I'm looking at the most. But I also don't, if you don't want to pay up for Giannis, I don't hate Drew at 7,700. Just kind of saving some money and like building maybe more of like a balanced build with like one stud. You know, maybe going like and go like Drew, Trae Young type of plays, like Vooch, maybe go like three like really strong upper mid tier instead of like going like a Jokic and someone else. But I mean, roster construction on a four game slate is always important. What are your thoughts here on the Bucks?
Yeah, getting up to this like 12K range with Vooch and or not Vooch, Jokic and Giannis, I think it's going to be pretty tough on the slate. If we get DeRozan out, that certainly would help. Man, I played a ton of Giannis against Portland. Thought he was going to absolutely smash.
Too.
Like, just didn't work out. The Bucks crushed it. Giannis was, like you said, a little bit of foul trouble. He had six turnovers in that game too, which is not customary for him. Still had the rebounds, but just the foul trouble kind of limited the minutes. The blowout limited the minutes. He just didn't get it quite enough. But man, he was absolutely smashed for that. I still think there's plenty of upside here. I don't know how much I can get up to this 12K range. But Middleton hasn't been unleashed yet. I don't think we really see that happen before the All-Star break-ish, at least. There's no reason for them to push him. We're going to see him in that 20 to 22 minute range, I think. If I can't get to Giannis, I'm fine going down to Drew. That's very similar to the Jokic Murray situation. You just kind of have to hope that like Giannis could still go for like 55, 60 fantasy points and not kill you at that salary if there's no value plays that make that worthwhile. So dropping down to somebody like Drew and hoping he can go 6X, I think makes a lot of sense. And I love the Brook Lopez call. Dude's had a really good season. And he's shown more ceiling this year than he has in the past too. Obviously, he dealt with back injuries in the past. Seems to be in much better form this year, much healthier than he has been in a long time. So 5,600 for Brook Lopez. I like that. Probably not messing with any of the value here. I think the Lakers can keep this close enough unless one of the stars end up sitting on the other side.
All right, Lakers side, like Westbrook gone. Utah, did not expect that. I feel like the Lakers did really well.
They gave up a lot of their future,
but listen, they have no problem spending money in free agency, so picks are picks. When you're a team like the Lakers who, I mean, you're probably not getting a top 10 pick out of those picks anyway. So, Utah for Russ, man.
Well, they're going to
see that one coming.
They're going to buy him out, though. They're, like, Utah just bought the picks, basically.
You think, though?
Yeah. I saw a report that said they're going to buy out Russ. I think the Clippers are interested and potentially the Bulls.
Oh, gosh. Don't go to Chicago. I do not like that for Chicago.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I'm glad it's only a 4-game slate because I feel like tomorrow is going to be a lot of moves. I feel like there's a lot of fringe teams, and there's a lot of teams kind of out of it that wouldn't mind some draft picks tomorrow. Someone on YouTube just said the same thing. Trade deadline tomorrow is going to be crazy. Josh, shout out YouTube. What's up? I didn't say it. Like, what's happening? Like, Dave, Big Hurt, Richie, Josh, having some fun over there in the YouTube chat. Thanks for hanging out. All right, so Westbrook gone. And then, like, it was Anderson, Toscano Anderson, who really doesn't play a ton of minutes anyway. And then Damian Jones, who really doesn't play a ton of minutes either. So as far as like this game in particular, it's really just like Russ minutes. And I feel like it really just kind of goes to maybe a guy like Austin Reeves or like Schroeder potentially just playing more, or like Hachimura playing more and then playing like a bigger type of lineup here against Milwaukee, because Lopez and Giannis, like, maybe Hachimura gets like 35 minutes in this game. What are your thoughts here on the Lakers?
Yeah, I think, like, who's going to play backup point? Like, LeBron's going to have to run some point here, right? Obviously, Schroeder's going to start there alongside.
Wouldn't it be Beverly?
Yeah, good point. He could certainly do that. So maybe Beverly runs into a few extra minutes here. If he goes from, like, playing 24 minutes to playing 30 minutes, he might be interesting. He doesn't do a ton. But maybe if he's playing without one of LeBron or AD on the floor with the second unit a little bit, maybe there's some room for a bump in usage there. 3,700. I don't hate that idea. Like, just, again, similar to the Jokic, Giannis conversations, getting up to LeBron and AD is going to be pretty tough here. I think I prefer LeBron. Just, they're close enough in price that LeBron's in better form. AD just, he seemed really uninterested in that game that LeBron broke the record.
He did, man. You see him on the bench just like sitting there.
Yeah, like he didn't even stand up and cheer. Like, he wasn't clapping anything. It was,
but then like the thing came out where like there was a massive like thing in the locker room at halftime with like Westbrook. Like, was he like involved in that? I just who knows?
Yeah. Very curious to see how AD kind of adapts to this new team. I think they get it figured out. Like, Westbrook was never a fit for this team ever since they acquired him. So getting him out of there, I think it's definitely a strong move for the Lakers here at the trade deadline. We're kind of guessing on the rotation here, though, similar to what we're saying with Brooklyn. I like the Reeves call. I think he does get plenty of run here. He only played 7 minutes in the last game, but he had a pretty solid role coming back from an injury. He missed almost over a month, actually. So I think he's a guy that could get really involved. 3,700. I don't know if it's this game that he gets super involved, but I don't think you can rule out like 20, 22 minutes in that. At 3,700, I think that's good enough to take shots on a short slate. Hachimura at 4,800. He's probably going to keep starting alongside LeBron and AD, and I don't know if there's enough usage there for him in that lineup. So I'm probably more interested in like a second unit guard like Reeves or Beverly than I am in somebody like Hachimura. I think Schroeder is interesting as well at 5K. Probably a little bit of room up on the minutes from low 30s to like mid 30s consistently. So don't hate Schroeder. Interesting, tough matchup against Milwaukee, but short slate, I think you gotta take some shots here.
I feel like we kind of buried the lead a little bit. LeBron should handle the ball a ton in this game. He has massive upside. Anthony Davis maybe focused more on potentially guarding Giannis, but we say that, and he went for 70 fantasy points against this team earlier this year. And Richie in chat says like AD just picked up his fourth foul like 30 seconds before LeBron got that. So maybe he was just mad that he wasn't on the court with his buddy LeBron. Anthony Davis and LeBron have a really good like relationship, so I wouldn't be shocked if it was something like that. But I'm sure Anthony Davis was very, very happy for LeBron. I kind of like Hachimura in tournaments. Again, I think that this is a spot that they could potentially play a little bit bigger, and he gets like a 30-type minute role in this game. We're just searching for minutes today. When we're looking at value on this slate, we're just searching for minutes. So, all right, that's it for NBA. We're going to skip the morning grind game today so we can talk some Super Bowl before we get out of here. We'll be back morning grind game tomorrow for NBA for sure. Let's get into it. We got this. I'm really pumped about the Super Bowl. I'm sure a lot of people are, but I'm really pumped about this game. Kansas City at Philadelphia in Arizona. 50.5 total in this game. Philadelphia is still 1.5 point favorite. I mean, as far as like injuries go, like Hardman out, we know that. Tony, everything I've read says expected to play but questionable. Juju practiced 100%, and Edwards-Helaire was activated off the IR. And Philly's good to go. I mean, they're very healthy as far as the offense goes. So we'll get into some props and just like thoughts overall. But let's do morning grind style first. We'll go Kansas City. They're technically the visiting team. I want to talk about this running back situation. I want to talk about, because we like shift gears, right? Like all year we break it down just in general, but like now we have to shift gears to like a showdown slate. Edwards-Helaire is 1K on DraftKings. 1K on DraftKings. Like, do we think he plays at all? And if we do think he plays, do we think he touches the ball enough for a 1K price tag? Like, this is a guy, this is the starting running back at the beginning of the season. Like, Pacheco has played really well recently, but if he starts getting shut down, is this a spot we see like Helaire, like Edwards-Helaire get involved and like be the guy? Like, just his price tag is ridiculous.
The price tag is ridiculous. I'm very concerned about the role. I think we have seen Jerick McKinnon phased out of the running game, at least. He probably still has somewhat of a passing role, although Pacheco picked up a ton of work in the passing game in the AFC Championship game. So McKinnon's role has clearly diminished. When it, like, down the stretch of the regular season, it looked like this was going to be McKinnon's backfield. And then something clicked for Pacheco, and he's been just taking over in the playoffs here. So I feel like they trust Pacheco enough that they're not going to just throw Edwards-Helaire into a starting running back role. I think you could see 4 or 5 carries from Edwards-Helaire. And if one or two of those comes at the goal line, there's absolutely a scenario where you could pay off the 1K price tag. But I think it's pretty clearly Pacheco as the lead running back in the backfield, with McKinnon kind of taking a backseat completely on rushing attempts. Maybe he sees a couple of targets, but Edwards-Helaire, I think, picks up like those 4 or 5 targets that are not targets, rushing attempts that McKinnon was seeing. That's my take on it. Definitely like wild room for interpretation here for sure. But I think Pacheco has shown enough to where he's the guy.
Oh, I'm 100% with you as far as I think Pacheco is the lead guy. He's the number one guy. With Tony banged up, with the wide receiver corps, I mean, banged up in general here for Kansas City. So, like, this could be a spot that he just gets a few targets out of the backfield. And, like, at the end of the day, like, it takes one catch for, like, 30 yards, and he's paid off the price tag. I mean, you're not going to win a tournament with him getting, like, 5 or 6 points. But, I mean, his value that he offers – this like salary relief is insane. So listen, Kelsey's the best play on the slate outside of Hurts and Mahomes. And we'll talk about those guys in just a second, but Kelsey is just, I mean, like, this guy has like 40 plus point upside, and he's cheaper than Mahomes and Hurts. I mean, obviously those guys have massive ceilings in general, but I mean, this is a guy that just, he can break a slate. Like, Travis Kelce, Super Bowl MVP, would not shock me. And I don't even think it's a hot take, but Give me your general thoughts here on the passing game for Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, Kelce is very clearly the number one option in this offense. It's been that way pretty much all season long. I agree. I think you roster him in the captain just like you would any other wide receiver one. He has that type of upside. Like, what this guy has done in the playoffs in his career is just, like, he averages somewhere near 100 yards, and he's scored in almost every single playoff game that he's played in his career. So I think there's a very high likelihood he finds the end zone here. He's live for the 100-yard bonus. He's live for something like 15 targets. Like, absolutely, Travis Kelce is the number one option in this offense. You got to pay for him, but that's why there's some value stuff. We talked about CEH already. I think both of the backup tight ends are in play as far as value pieces go. And then these wide receivers, like, one of them is probably going to have a pretty decent game here. The injuries are tough. And, like, what was already a complicated receivers room is now more complicated because of the injuries. Tony is my favorite. I saw his role increasing down the back half of the season. I would have had a very good championship slate if Tony wouldn't have gotten hurt. I already had a decent one, but Tony was on a ton of teams that I had up near the tops of tournaments. I'm probably going to go right back to that and just hope that he can stay healthy. He's the cheapest between MVS and Juju. I think if I had to put, like, upside on somebody, I think MVS has the highest upside of the three, but he's also the most expensive. We don't have numbers. That's obviously going to factor into some of my decisions as well. But Tony's price at 4,400, even if he's limited, they still, like, they'll have that goal line package for him where they do the jet sweep or throw him a screen pass. Like, he is their playmaker. Especially with Hardman out again, Tony is just the guy that's going to be in that role. And there's a ton of, like, designed and scripted plays for him. So Tony would be my favorite receiver at 4,400.
Yeah, I mean, I like Tony. His speed is just it's a difference maker. Like, he has the upside. He's just really cheap too. I'm with you though. I would definitely have, like, MVS as, like, the number one guy, not named Travis Kelce, in this passing game. Then I would probably go Tony, Juju, Sky Moore. Like, if I had to rank all four of these guys, I don't know, Juju, like, this is a type of game that I could see Juju, like, having a really strong game, but, like, it just really hasn't happened since, like, week 14. So I don't know. I think the chemistry is there. I think that he is trusted by Mahomes. It's just he can't stay healthy for a whole football game. So I think you play through the pain a little bit in the Super Bowl, I feel, though. So he almost had a 1,000-yard receiving, like, season. So, like, Juju has some upside. Not do as well as I thought he was going to do beginning of the year, looking back on it. But all right, we'll go to Philly, and then we have some questions over there in the YouTube chat. We'll answer those, and then we'll do some props and bets and stuff, and then we'll get out of here. But Philadelphia side, last week I was so frustrated because Miles Sanders scored 2 touchdowns. gosh, so frustrated. I had so much potential, and Miles Sanders just kind of did me in. But I can't trust that. I can tell you that for sure. I think that, like, Gainwell is obviously a little interesting, but I really think, like, Watkins is super interesting in this game. Devontae over AJ Brown is super interesting in this game. But, I mean, not to bury the lead, but Jalen Hurts, probably the highest ceiling of any player on this slate.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, his rushing touchdown equity is just absolutely insane. Set the NFL record for rushing touchdowns by a quarterback this season. 14 or something like that was the number, maybe 16. It was a bunch. Certainly live for touchdowns on the ground, as well as live for throwing for, like, 3 of them. So, yeah, I mean, Hurts has an enormous ceiling. Running backs room is tough. Sanders is priced up, and he has not like this has been a three-headed backfield. It's not just a timeshare where it's like a 65. Like, they're all 3 of them are seeing work. there's some narrative that part of that is blowout related. Like Philadelphia has just cruised through the playoffs. They won by like 30 points in the playoffs. So maybe that's a reason that Boston Scott's seen a little bit of run. I think Gainwell definitely still has a role. And I think they mix in Boston Scott too. Like, I don't think they're going away from the committee here. So paying $7,800 for Miles Sanders is really tough. If he scores two touchdowns again, then so be it. I'm probably not going to make much money on the Super Bowl DFS slate. I would much rather go down to Gainwell. I think he's more explosive. He has better big play ability, and he's the back that's more involved in the passing game, which especially on DraftKings where it's a full point per reception, that's extremely useful. Boston Scott's price is okay. I think it's certainly in play. If he gets a couple of carries inside the five, like we've seen in the past, like he's got three rushing touchdowns in each of their last three games. So he's certainly live for a touchdown here. If he falls in the end zone at 3K, he can be useful. So I'll like definitely underweight, if not full fading Sanders, probably overweight on Gainwell, and have to see where Scott's ownership comes in, but he's in play. Wide receivers, I agree with you. I like the Devonta over A.J. Brown call. He has had a very similar target share to A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown probably has slightly more ceiling, but like Devonta has had every bit the role. I think he'll be the lower owned of the two, and he's a little bit cheaper. So I probably end up overweight on Devonta Smith, and even with the field on A.J. Brown, they're both fantastic plays. They both could break the slate. Tons of upside from either of them. I don't know that to Watkins and Pascal much. Like, yes, Watkins could catch a 40-yard touchdown. I just like he's probably going to see two or three targets, and they're going to be deep down the field. He needs to convert it. Like, maybe you take a shot on that in 10, 15% of your lineups. So we'll have to see where the ownership comes in. But he hasn't had the same type of role ever since Goddard came back. He's been primarily used as just a deep threat rather than more of like a slot receiver type. But that doesn't mean that he can't catch a long touchdown and be useful at 1,400. Pascal, I just not enough opportunity, not enough of a role for him. Probably don't get there. Yeah, that's pretty much. And then Goddard's an awesome play, obviously.
Yeah, I like Goddard a lot. You know, potentially going like if you're going like Kelce, Mahomes, and like Goddard, Devontae type of build. I mean, obviously, you're going to take a shot on one of these cheap guys for that to work, but could be an interesting way not to play Hurts and just try to get his production and hope he doesn't, like, run a touchdown in and he just kind of throws three-ish touchdowns to those guys. So I think that's super interesting. But, yeah, I mean, for me on the Philadelphia side, like, just this game in general, like, you're going to need to get weird somewhere. I mean, there's a lot of depth on both sides potentially at the running back position. So I think that's where it's going to lie. Maybe playing some kickers because of their price tags. That is somewhat interesting. Like Buckner is someone that, you know, this season he has double digit games. I think I was looking at it earlier. I think it's like six or seven times. So like, you know, getting some Buckner and like we saw, was it two or three weeks ago against the Giants? Jake Elliott had like 20 fantasy points. So taking some shots on some kickers, maybe. All right. We'll answer a couple questions that we have on YouTube. But can you fade both quarterbacks in a few lineups, or is that getting too cute? Keith, what are your thoughts on that?
I have a hard time believing that both of them will not be optimal. I think one is the optimal way to play. Like you need the highest scoring quarterback. I feel like is going to be optimal, and it's going to be difficult for both of them to be optimal. So I feel like playing one quarterback is the way that I would lean most. I'm trying to think of scenarios like just because of Hurts's rushing ability, I have a really hard time seeing him like just completely fail in this game. Mahomes, I guess, like if he doesn't hit the 300 yard bonus and only throws for one touchdown, but Kansas City just throws so much. Like, I don't know, like one of them will be optimal. At least I think I wouldn't fade both of them.
Definitely not on FanDuel. I mean, definitely not on FanDuel. I don't think you could fade both of them on, like, unless you're just trying to be like super different. But I still don't see the reason behind fading like both of them here. I think you're playing at least one of them, and it really just comes down to, you know, what you're thinking build wise. I definitely want some lineups of both of them too, for what it's worth.
Yeah,
you know, I think that you could take a shot on one of the cheap guys potentially with them, but I mean, I was just messing around with it because I saw this question and I was like, if you go Kelce in the captain, AJ Brown, Devontae, MVS, it gives you $5,000 per the last two spots. And I mean, there's just not that guy that like makes this make sense. I mean, I don't know. Pacheco over MVS, maybe. I don't see how it works.
You have to include some running backs there, and you just hope that Hurts not rush in any touchdowns. So maybe you could get by with two Philly running backs on that. I don't think that Sanders and Gainwell can both be optimal together because of their pricing, but I could see Boston Scott scoring a rushing touchdown and being optimal with either of them. Like if Gainwell scored a touchdown and Scott scored a touchdown, they could both be optimal. If Sanders scored two and Scott scored one, maybe two Philly running backs to round out that build. The Kansas City just doesn't run enough, in my opinion. I think Pacheco gets there and pays off his price because he's now involved in the passing game. Like I don't see a scenario where Pacheco like runs for 150 yards in this game.
Yeah. The other question that we had, would we consider playing like a cheapie, like Hilaire or Watkins at captain and stack all the studs?
That is generally not how I like to play showdown. I think you need one of the top scorers, unless you get like 10 captain is not likely to be optimal. It'll generally be one of those studs that you're trying to fit in, puts up enough like point per dollar to where that they end up being the optimal captain. So not a strategy that I generally employ.
I'm with you. I feel like overall the cheapest captain I would likely play in this game is probably MVS at first glance. I haven't built any lineups yet. I usually will do that like Friday and Saturday.
I could maybe be talked into Gainwell, but it's like the split backfield is tough. You would almost need a Sanders benching or an injury or something like that. But yeah, I agree. MVS certainly has the upside at 6,200, but maybe Gainwell, but probably definitely not anything below that.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I could do, potentially a captain, but if I want to play like a two quarterback lineup, maybe I take one of the kickers and just make my two quarterback lineup super different, like play a kicker in the captain spot. But I mean, for the double quarterback to work, that probably doesn't work either. I don't know. Would we play any defenses? That's the last question we have here. Do you have any interest in playing the defenses?
I do. I think defenses are viable. A lot of people don't like to play defenses in shootouts, but like we have two, like Kansas City in particular being so pass heavy, with Philadelphia's pass rush, I think they could rack up quite a few sacks. Like you can get a random pick six on anybody. I know Mahomes doesn't throw a ton. I could certainly see Hurts throwing a pick six, like you get a defensive touchdown and it doesn't matter if the team that gets the pick six, if they give up 50 points, that's still usable, for a cheap defense. And they're both under 4K. And I don't think they're going to be all that popular. So, with them being price takers, I think that they're in play. Like I expect this to be a high scoring game. I'm sure we'll talk about over-unders here in just a minute, but in total, defenses are still in play despite the shootout. Like, just give me some turnovers and some sacks, and they can still get there for sure.
All right, that handles the YouTube questions. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube page. Turn on notifications. That way, When we go live, you can join us. I try to answer questions for NBA as we're going as well. Really looking forward to MLB, doing live shows with MLB and answering questions. It will be a ton of fun. All right. Before we get into any of the fun props or anything like that, we're getting close on time here as well. Is there any like prop that you have then you're like, oh, I gotta get this, and I've maybe even potentially already got?
So there was one that I wrote up for Luch. I'm not that article, I'm not sure if it's been published or not yet. But I like Patrick Mahomes over passing attempts, and I also like his over completions as well. I feel like the Chiefs lean really pass heavy in this game. I'm trying to pull up what the completions I got was at 25.5, and I believe the passing attempts was 38.5, 36.5, one of those two. But yeah, I just feel like the Chiefs are going to lean on Mahomes. I know Pacheco has been solid, and the Eagles are a really tough pass defense, but I feel like they will utilize the screen game, the underneath stuff to Kelsey, as just an extension of the running game. I feel like Patrick Mahomes is going to be throwing quite a few passes in this one.
I like that one. One that like jumped out to me was Pacheco's rushing prop. It's at 46.5 on FanDuel. You can get it on Sleeper and Prize Picks. I think it's like 48.5. We have him projected for 58 rushing yards. It's insane value. So I like Pacheco's rushing prop. I don't think like Hilaire is going to be a guy that like cuts into the rushing game. I think he's more of someone that could potentially cut into the passing game of McKinnon more than anything else. So I jumped on this one early and it only moved like a yard or two on like the fantasy prop sites since it came out, because it was at 46.5. So that's the one that I really like. I also really like Kelsey over 7 receptions. That is one that I really like. Like, he's at the end of the day, he's going to be someone that's heavily targeted in this game.
Absolutely. Love Kelsey, all Kelsey's props. You reminded me one I bet like a week ago. Kenneth Gainwell over 18.5 rushing yards. I believe that's moved a little bit, but it's still too low. Like, if it's, I think it's 19.5 now. Gainwell's going to have a role. Like, Philly has never been a team that relies on just one back. Like, they've been a committee team. Yeah, you can still get 19.5 at FanDuel, -110. I still really like Kenneth Gainwell over rushing yards.
All right. Who do you got? Who do you got winning the Super Bowl? I mean, it's Philly -1.5. You can do the against the spread or however you want to do it. Like, who do you got winning the Super Bowl?
Man, I've been back and forth on this. I'm still not even sure I'm confident enough to put a bet on it. But my initial lean was Kansas City. Getting the plus money on, like, just take them on the money line, near even money, but slight plus money. Like, Philly feels like the more rounded team, but they have not been tested all year long. I think they had the easiest schedule in the NFL in the regular season. And then they've had a cakewalk to the Super Bowl, playing the Giants without any wide receivers and the 49ers without a quarterback, essentially. So the Eagles have not been truly tested. I feel like the Chiefs are going through some adversity with the injuries to the wide receivers. So it makes sense. The line makes sense to me. I can see why Philly is favored. But I think my money right now would be on the Chiefs.
I mean, that was my initial lean too. Chiefs money line. Like, I don't need 1.5. If I lose, right, that is what it is, but yeah. I like the money line for the Chiefs. Get the extra couple bucks. I mean, that was my initial lean, was Chiefs. And gosh, like, if you're betting Philly to win the Super Bowl, just go ahead and bet Jalen Hurts to win the MVP. I mean, if Philadelphia wins the Super Bowl, I mean, I would be shocked. Unless it's like some massive like defensive performance or something, I'd be shocked if Jalen Hurts does not win Super Bowl MVP. So like, I mean, I don't even hate parlaying that. I guess you could parlay it, right? I've even looked into that. But yeah, I mean, my initial lean is Kansas City. I like Devontae Smith's receiving yard prop. on Prize Picks. It's, I think, 60 and a half still. Most books have it at like 61 to 65 from what I've seen. So I like Devontae Smith receiving props. And I also like, here, I got to go to my entries. I also like Jalen Hurts over 10 and a half rushing attempts in this game. I think he's going to use his legs a lot in this game. So, that was one that I jumped on earlier this week, too. So, that's it. Keith, heads or tails? What do you got?
I'm always a heads guy.
Well, heads never fails. Tails never fails?
I think that's the saying.
I know. And last but not least,
we didn't talk about total. Over 50 and a half, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You're on yes. That. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, my Super Bowl bets initially were Kansas City and the over. So,
yep.
I might do some more when I get into Tennessee for this weekend, but I text a guy. what color Gatorade? What do you got?
So I saw something. Philly has been yellow in both of their Super Bowls, I think is what I saw. I saw something, though. Like, if you're on Philly to win the game, you should be on the yellow-green selection for Gatorade. I haven't seen anything on Kansas City. So, like, since I have Kansas City to win, I'll go away from yellow-green and go red.
I think the last time the Chiefs won the Super Bowl was orange.
Okay.
That's like your typical like Gatorade color too, orange.
Yeah.
I always like, for what it's worth, I always like no Gatorade poured for 1600. Go for it. It's happened 5 times. Why is it plus 1600? like since 2001, 5 no pours, orange 5 times, blue 4, clear 4. Yellow 3 and purple 1. Like, why are we not throwing like $20? It doesn't even have to be a lot of money. Like $20 on no Gatorade poured at like 1600 pays for like dinner tonight, like Super Bowl dinner. There you go. Anyway, we're gonna get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with some more hoops talk. Hope everyone has a fantastic Thursday. We'll see you again tomorrow.